You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, innovation, entrepreneurialism, and strategy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, our 74th episode, we're going to speak with a good friend and serial entrepreneur, Venkat Sharma, founder and CEO of iHealth. Welcome, Venkat.
Thank you, Justin.
It's great to have you in the studio today, and thank you for making the trek all the way from Louisville to Atlanta.
Thank you.
So before we jump too far into the broadcast and dive into some of the real exciting times that you have going on in iHealth, let's take a little bit of a step back and say, you know, and talk about where were you born and raised and where did you attend college?
I was born in a city called Pune in India. And I was an army brat. My dad was in the services and we just lived in different parts of India, in New Delhi and a city called Hyderabad, basically all over India. And that's where I grew up all the way through college and came over here to the U.S. back in August 21st, 1977.
Very cool. Hyderabad is it's a tech center, right? Correct?
Yeah. Hyderabad is a tech center. It's very well known, very cosmopolitan, and it's a great city to be. It's great for our business. Lots of IT talent, lots of BPO knowledge talent.
BPO is business process outsourcing.
Oh, I'm sorry, business process outsourcing.
Okay, very, very cool. Right. And where'd you go? And where'd you attend college?
There's a small college in India called it's a long name, Birla Institute of Technology and Science, commonly known as BITS to most Indians. It's very well known. It's a small engineering college, sort of like the Harvey Mudd of India.
Oh.
Yeah, which is, Harvey Mudd's not very well known, but you know, it's getting a C there is like getting an A.
Right.
So it's a good school. It's one of the top three there in India. And then I came over here in August of 77, as I mentioned, to go to grad school.
And where did you attend grad school?
I went to Clemson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clemson University.
That's right.
Right up the street from us.
A stone's throw from here.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you've been an entrepreneur for a while. So how did you get the entrepreneurial bug? Where did it start?
Kind of a long story. I've been in technology and software development for a while and grew into a position where I was running IT, actually an online service for magazine publishers for a subsidiary of 3M. Mm-hmm. And 3M decided that they weren't in the publishing business, so they sold the subsidiary. So I negotiated with the new owners to take over the IT services part. That's how I got started. And with really the feeling that I thought I could do, just watching the folks in the small company that it was sold to, I thought I could do at least as good a job as they could. That's really what got me started.
Yeah, very cool.
And negotiated with them, and they became my first client. So that's how I got started.
And what brought you into healthcare specifically then?
Well, that first venture that I started didn't turn out to be very well. A lot of lessons to be learned.
Oh, yeah.
And then went on to, with the internet coming on, I went on to a new venture, essentially that I started from zero to create and manage databases for pharmaceutical companies. So the pharma companies were in this, there's something called direct-to-consumer marketing. So these ads that you see on TV that say, call your doctor about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So we actually manage the analytics to drive those campaigns and to segment and slice and dice the data. So anyway, that got me thinking about how powerful data and information is to the pharma industry, who has tons of money. But coming from a family of physicians, I see so much of that information locked up in their paper charts, in their office. And I got to thinking about how we can get that information out and leverage it. And that's essentially how I got, trying to solve that problem is how I got started into healthcare.
Well, it's almost the old adage. I mean, you're looking for opportunity, you see it, you step in and seize it. And then certainly from the entrepreneurial side is we've all learned probably more from our failures than we have from our successes. So you have to have failures along the way.
Absolutely. Builds character, as I say.
It certainly does. Yeah, and how you react in the troubled times says more about your character than how you react in the good times.
Very true.
So for sure. So you're here. You're doing a little bit of a barnstorming tour because you had a very exciting acquisition that you've just done with iHealth. And in full disclosure, I hope to be a part of this in some capacity. So for my audience, but tell us a little bit about iHealth, what you've traditionally done, and why you're so excited and why this new acquisition should bring even much more glory to your team and your company.
Well, just take a step back a little bit in terms of how I started iHealth.
Sure.
After I was talking to you about the information-driven, the information getting out of physicians' offices, so I attacked that problem of building a platform, a software platform, that could capture some of that unstructured information from doctors' offices. And that idea, that software took off and got to be very popular with doctors. That particular company, iMedX, grew to be what is now one of the top three largest companies in its area of clinical documentation in the country. So, but I always wanted to continue to help physicians, and that whole the physician market, I think, is untapped. I shouldn't say untapped, but certainly underserved.
Right.
So I attacked that market. As iMedX grew to be more and more successful, I decided to step out and really pursue this passion of helping physicians. But this time I did not want to start from zero. I started three companies from zero.
Right.
This time I figured I'd start with something, some base, some platform.
I couldn't agree more.
So I went out and acquired a company, very simple revenue cycle, vanilla revenue cycle type of company in the DC area, and decided to use that as a platform to grow. Through my days at iMedX, and to date, I've probably acquired about 14 different companies. I know how to do that.
Sure,
I know how to work with entrepreneurs,
the
small mom and pops, and work with them to essentially integrate them into our fold. So I decided that with iHealth, I will pursue that strategy of using our technology and a process and bring that into these new acquisitions and integrating them.
So looking at this acquisition, the name of the company that you have just recently acquired is?
DNA Health.
Excellent. And they're out of where?
They're out of New Jersey.
Piscataway?
Piscataway, New Jersey.
Very cool. About an hour outside of New York, right?
That's right.
Well, that's an awesome place to have operations. So.
It is. You can cover the entire Northeast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So balance, I guess, what you currently do, and you strategically purchased DNA Health for a reason. So what do they do very well, and kind of where do they corner the market, and why you're so excited to purchase them and acquire them?
Yeah. Again, just taking a step back a little bit. With iHealth, when we started, it was a pure revenue cycle company, medical billing, claims processing, et cetera. We then subsequently acquired another company that was strong in the area of practice consulting, really the high-end type of services that
you offer. Yeah.
And a field called credentialing, which is essentially certifying the doctors to practice with hospitals and insurance companies.
Yeah.
So, now we had the elements, we had the raw elements of a really highly successful company with end-to-end, what I like to call human-in-the-loop type of processing. But what was missing is really a strong technology component that can drive change.
Yeah.
And with DNA Health, we got that. We have strong technology in the area of something called care coordination.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong technology presence to be able to help hospitals and providers navigate this whole field of all this change that's going on in healthcare, electronic medical records, etc. So it brings that core strength to us that we can then take to market.
Yeah, this is why I plan to partner with you in some capacity here, just because my most passionate aspect of healthcare right now, personally, is tech-enabled service, and that's helping care providers, whether hospitals and practices, navigate the future of healthcare using technology, but then also strong service. It's not just about handing technology or a platform to a doctor.
Absolutely.
It's about walking them through that process and personally enabling them with your strategy and and what's in your head and your expertise, and together navigating the future of healthcare.
Absolutely.
So I love it. And then you wrap on population health and analytics. That's the future of healthcare. your timing, you didn't, I don't think you had a whole lot to do with this, but Macro was dropped literally the same time that you were acquiring DNA Health, which this is all about tech-enabled service and the proposed regulations mm-hmm. around fee-for-service transitioning to value-based reimbursement and value-based healthcare and accountable care.
You don't think I engineered this whole thing?
Actually, I'm so impressed by you and your background. You very well may have. I love it. So your timing is impeccable, and it's fantastic. So where will you now have operations? So, because now you've got New Jersey, which is very, very cool. You got Louisville. But what do you think from an operations standpoint?
Well, we have a strong presence in Florida. So we have an office in the Orlando area. Mm-hmm. We have an office in Texas.
Excellent. Yeah.
And
hopefully
Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, and hopefully Atlanta.
And Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's right.
Very, very cool.
That's right.
So with the new iHealth, I mean, because you know, bringing in what you've acquired here with DNA Health, and what are some of the true problems? And we've talked about it a little bit, but you know, from your standpoint, and to articulate it for my listeners, what problems specifically are you solving for practices and hospitals now?
Hospitals and practices, I hesitate because hospitals and practices have so many problems.
Right.
with so much change being imposed on them by the government, so true. Much change from the market, mm-hmm. the Affordable Care Act bringing in so many more new patients into the market with the payers. So we really help practices and hospitals navigate this whole environment of change. There's so much change in the past and today, and actually probably for the next few years, doctors are paid as a fee for service.
Right.
Things are changing. They're going to be paid more for outcomes, for value, various other elements. And it's a sea change for them. How do they navigate this? Most doctors just want to practice medicine.
Right. They're not, so true.
Yeah. They're not in business. Yeah. They run as small businesses.
Right.
But they don't... Yeah. So it's not a very familiar area for them. So we step in and we help them navigate that through the use of our technology, information, which is analytics, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
So technology and information, and again, what I mentioned is human in the loop.
Yeah.
So the people. So those three bring that into play to help these practices essentially succeed.
Yeah. And
change.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, even off the air, and we're coming on air, we're talking about some of your passions around this, and just, you know, what you said around really walking care providers through the next several years is just going to be so critical to your own personal passions, but also to the success of them. They have more coming at them than ever before, and the financial operation is their lifeline. It's how they're going to survive.
Absolutely.
And so bring in all your expertise and experience of what you've been doing in the past, and then bring in all this even new energy, but also expertise coming from DNA Health side. I think that you got one heck of a model, and that's why I'm looking forward to finding different ways to partner with you moving forward. So, for those just tuning in, we're speaking with Venkat Sharma from iHealth, who's in the studio today. Recently made an acquisition of DNA Health out of New Jersey, and we're both very excited about what he's now bringing to market for hospitals and physician practices. It's very cool that you can kind of span both of those markets. So, go ahead, yeah.
Well, I should say that with DNA Health, we've also acquired a tremendous management team.
Yes.
Tremendous resources in medical coding and various areas around the system integration.
Yeah, globally, and to give you kind of the scale, globally, how large will your organization, will iHealth be now globally?
Globally, roughly about 350 people.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. So outside of some of the services that we've spoken about and some of the targets, customer bases such as physician practices and hospitals, will it be anybody else that you might go after as a company, or are you staying very focused in just those two markets?
Well, the physician practices and hospitals for sure.
Yeah.
Like CBOs and large
or
practice,
anything like that?
Exactly. CBOs, yeah. Large practices that are owned by hospitals and central billing offices. Where large health systems that own many physician practices centralize all the billing and the revenue cycle. So those would be prime targets for us. Mm-hmm. What's very interesting to me, and this is an area that our technology will play in for sure, is there's a lot of friction between payers, the insurance companies, and providers.
Very good point.
It's always been there.
Yeah.
And And with the change in the ways that, that doctors are being reimbursed, that friction is not going to go away. So we will step in with solutions to reduce that friction.
Yeah. Now, that's key. And most companies don't even remotely go in trend in that direction. So the expertise that you can bring them, you're talking about managing contracts, negotiating contracts with payers? Is that?
That's right. And there are lots of administrative
That's excellent.
Issues between the payers and the providers that are archaic.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. And that's a strong support that practices and care providers and physicians certainly need. So congratulations to that. So where do you get your passion from? Where does, you know, why are you so invested in this business?
You know, I think about that sometimes, and I don't have a very good answer. I do know that I come from I have lots of physicians in my family. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of physicians. My wife is a physician.
Yeah, that's a thought, yeah.
I understand them. I understand the problems that they face. And at every turn, they are hit with more and more obstacles. So I just feel strongly that in order to help healthcare, you got to help the physician succeed. I guess that's that's my passion for healthcare. But overall, I just like to solve problems. If I see a problem, I like to solve it.
Yeah.
So I try to seek out problems.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. So what makes the new iHealth better than what's being done out there today? How do you kind of corner the market in your specific way?
That's a very interesting question. There are many companies out in this market, of course. I think the key differentiator for us is the technology that we have that really fits very well for the next 5 to 8 years.
Yeah,
we have the ability to leapfrog some of the larger players in the market because they, admittedly, very successful in the past.
Yeah.
But they are still bogged down by their past.
Yeah.
There are a couple of successful companies. There's certainly one very successful public company that's doing quite well, but they are all. A public company cannot possibly be as nimble as a younger company that's well-funded.
Yep, and eager and hungry and with the expertise.
Absolutely.
I couldn't agree more. It just spells opportunity around the horn there. So why is revenue cycle management, and I know that you've been talking about revenue cycle performance, but why is revenue cycle management more important now than ever before?
Changes. Everything's changed. Everything's different from what it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. The value-based care, where physicians are being paid more on value and outcomes.
Yeah.
Physicians are being rated with value-based modifiers. The bundle payments, where essentially the providers are being paid one fixed amount for a complete episode of care.
Correct, yeah.
So what's happening is that then the physicians who are used to being paid a certain way and the health systems that pay them or the payers that pay them, there has to be something that sort of reconciles the two. You've got fixed payment and variable costs. So this is where revenue cycle becomes increasingly important because with the data and the analytics, to be able to minutely analyze the payments, it becomes extremely important, more so now than before, where everything was variable.
Very true. So I think one of the pieces that I've been foreshadowing, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, is, you know, ICD-10 went forth, you know, October 1st, 2015, but you didn't have to be as specific with a code as you're going to have to be specific starting October 1st, 2016. So I think a lot more opportunity is about to hit when payers and certainly CMS and others begin to be, you know, ask for more specificity in the code set and the code family, not just being the family, but the actual code that you have to use for billing. I think you're about to see a tremendous boom, even in the next two, three months around this. Do you agree with me, or do you think ICD-10, the wave has already hit for ICD-10?
Oh, I do agree with you. I should elaborate on that a little bit. I think a lot of the practices and providers have already gone through that initial pain of ICD-10,
right
now. But I think what's happened is that a lot of the payers are being more lenient on those codes.
Yes.
They're letting things slip. But that's going to change as of October
1st, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal because now providers will really have to pay attention. You know, in the past, providers could document an encounter, or document a patient visit, and then produce the codes, the ICD-9 codes, based on that. But now they've got to do it the other way around because they've got to, it's so granular with the ICD-10 codes, they've got to pick the codes first and then document or support it.
Right.
That's a huge burden on them.
Yeah.
And with the electronic medical record systems of today, that's more of a burden because they're very hard to use.
Right.
So there's an opportunity for us to help that transition. It's not just a technical transition with the ICD-10 codes. It's a process transition.
Right. Fantastic point. And I'm glad that you agree and I'm glad that you see that because I think that's going to be a lot more opportunity to you personally, certainly to iHealth, and certainly opportunity to help practices who don't quite see this yet.
Right. And one very important point, let's not forget that ICD-10 is so granular. What does that mean in terms of the data that's available?
Correct.
Huge, big data opportunities.
Yeah. No, big data coming for sure. We've been talking about big data for years and years and years, but we have no idea that we're about to see for big data and the data visualization that will come from that. And then the population health support that will come from that. So it's about to be a very exciting time.
Absolutely.
In healthcare. And I'm glad that you're out there helping navigate physicians and hospitals through this. So we have about 5 minutes left. And so close out some key points here. I guess we've talked about the value-based healthcare, but to kind of close out that topic, how do you feel the new iHealth venture and your services will help care providers in the new world? And we've talked, you mentioned some of the high-level RCM, population health analytics, but is there one level deeper that you want to go specifically?
Well, iHealth has an end-to-end service for these physician practices. So what we do is bring that into play along with our technology platform for care coordination to go across everything that the doctor does to service the patient and to manage that patient's flow throughout that whole process.
Sure.
So our care coordination platform specifically allows the health system, if you will, to track that patient and help the patient along the way so that reduces costs and improves outcomes. It helps the insurance payer too for the same reason because it reduces costs.
Sure.
So the population health and care coordination, that's a very significant way that we can bring our technology to the table to help.
Yeah, and you help the care providers by getting them paid more and then certainly you help create a healthier population for the insurance carrier, but at the end of the day, you're creating a healthier patient. And
absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
So that's fantastic. So, and I have a lot of entrepreneurs that also listen to this show, as we talked about off air. So, and I always like this question. So as an entrepreneur, if you weren't doing this venture, what else would you be doing? What do you think you'd do?
I think if I wasn't doing this venture, I'd be finding some other problem to solve.
Good point. You did mention that earlier.
Yeah. There's lots to solve in this world.
Amen.
And my dad's 91 and still going strong. I figure I've got a good 35, 40 years to go. There's plenty to do.
And I just visited my 91-year-old grandmother last week up in Boston. And so if I have hopefully a couple more good years in me as well. Very, very cool. So during this venture, and as an entrepreneur in this venture, so from the entrepreneurial standpoint and that hat on, what have you learned so far in this journey with iHealth that you would share with my audience? Kind of like things that you stepped into or landmines or things that you've learned or what to navigate through or how to help. What have you learned?
I think I might be able to answer that question better as an entrepreneur.
Right.
Not just iHealth, but other...
In general, right.
In general. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. I come across a lot of new entrepreneurs, young kids that really want to make it.
Sure.
And when they talk to me, it's so glaringly obvious that they have no clue as to what they're going to be facing once they really step in. One very simple credo is cash is king.
Yes.
If you can be successful as heck, but without the cash, you will fail.
Right.
There's no question about it.
Right.
You've got to build a product that the market wants.
Yep. Solve a problem.
Solve
a true, strong, big problem out there.
That's right. Yeah. And there are certainly lots of lessons. I could probably write a book. I've been through a lot of ups and downs in my time.
Yeah.
And there's certainly a lot that I could talk about.
Yeah, well, you bring up cash as king. I think there's so many variables to that. And I couldn't agree more, A, because even when you say you close a round of, you know, 2 million or a million or 10 million, my biggest thing is make that last double as long as you think you need to.
Absolutely.
So if you said, I'm raising $1 million the last 12 months, please raise $1 million the last two years, you know, whatever. If you think it's going to take you, I just need one more year, then schedule it for 2 years. Because you probably will need 2 years because cash is king. You better be safe than sorry. You can't, you know, save your way to being a billionaire, but you can, but you, because you have to invest wisely, but be very wise and specific and focused with your spend.
That's right. That's right. And
deliberate.
And where you get that is really bring in experienced talent. Yep. People that have been there, done that, I think that's really important.
Yeah, even to that, and I do. We have to wrap up the show here in a second, but that was my biggest precipice or biggest point when I was starting, you know, my next world is looking for somebody who's done it before. I want to join and work with a group of seasoned entrepreneurs and executives and not kind of start from scratch. I've done that a couple of times and I've been very fortunate, but I don't want to do it again. So in the closing seconds here, I always ask this of my guests, what is your favorite place to get or be inspired?
I like silence. It doesn't matter where I am. If I've got silence around me, I just think a lot. I go on long drives. I don't turn the radio on. I just think. And, of course, the prime place for silence and thinking is taking long walks with a golf bag on my back.
That's fantastic. I love it, and you and I are so aligned. I try to instill this more in my family of just time to sit and rest. I mean, no matter what you study, no matter what your religion, every religion talks about the need for silence, the need for reflection, the need to come and just be still.
Absolutely.
And still doesn't have to be sitting in one spot. Still can be walking a golf course. For me, being reflective and being still is actually running. It's actually, but silence. There's no music. There's no nothing. It's nature in the background, and it's me running or being in my boat. I'm not still by any stretch, but there is calmness and there's reflection.
Yep. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. Venkat, it was great to have you in studio today. Thank you so much for taking the time to fly in and join us.
Thank you, Justin. This was fun.
Fantastic. And we'll certainly have you back, my friend. And thank you to everyone for listening and joining us today. Please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustIn so we can respond to your comments from the show. In addition, and as always, my content will be posted on my site at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.